That the Otter River Baptist Association will be meeting on this coming week, August the 4th and the 5th, 2017. They'll be meeting at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, and they will have meeting each days. And their theme is developing and implementing strategies for today's rural church. They'll have a Friday night worship service beginning at 7 p.m. and then all day Saturday. They will have different topics that they'll be presenting, and this will be at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Rustburg, Virginia. They have as their guest speaker, Reverend Alan Pennell is the host pastor, and they're having, again, workshops geared toward helping the church, developing and implementing strategies for today's rural church. That's coming up this week, August the 4th and the 5th. Amen. I want to share with you a passage of scripture that Matthew chapter 17 has provided for us some insight. And for those of you that are familiar with this particular chapter, Jesus is transfigured. That means he's changed from the natural state to a glorified state. And in verse 9, we read this verse. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man. Tell the vision to no man. Tell the vision to no man. Until, everybody say until. Until the Son of Man has risen again from the dead. Thus ends the reading of God's Holy Word. You may be seated. I want to preach on the subject for just a few minutes today, a time to tell. Amen. A time to tell. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome time that we have as worship, where we can come to you and give our praise, give our thanks, give our adoration, for you truly have done great things in our lives. I pray that today we would focus on you and that we would know that only you are God, and beside you there is none other. Anoint me to preach to your people and anoint their ears to hear what thus saith the Spirit. We thank you for all these blessings in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. A time to tell. As we look at this passage and as we discover what was going on in this glorious transfiguration, Jesus on the mountain had called to him Moses and Elijah. And as they were conversing with him, the disciples had really drifted off to sleep, as one of the other gospel writers informs us. And so when Peter arose, just the magnitude of what they were seeing and what they were experiencing, Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And who wouldn't respond in that same way? It is good for us to be here. Anytime you're in the presence of God, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why I have problems when people come to church and they're seemingly in some frame of mind that prevents them from worship. Now, regardless of what happened yesterday, regardless of what happened this morning, God is still good and is still worthy of all praise. And we have to recognize him. Peter woke up from that state and he said, it's good to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In other words, he was so caught up in that event that he wanted to worship. Now watch this now. I don't want you to miss this. He said, now, I want to build one for you, tabernacle. Whenever you talk about tabernacle, you're talking about worship. You're talking about honoring God. He said, now I want to build one for you and I want to build one for Moses. Wait a minute. Moses was a good man, but he wasn't God. Moses went to the mountaintop to get the law from God, but he wasn't God. Do I have a witness? Peter said, I think we need to build one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. But wait a minute. Elijah is not God. God used Elijah. He worked miracles under the hand and the grace of God, but he wasn't God. And so to build a tabernacle for Jesus and them, God had problems with that. And God the Father stepped in and said, hold up a minute. A cloud overshadowed them. And God spoke, said, wait a minute, this is my son. Yes, Lord have mercy. You're talking about giving some backup. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He used Moses. He used Elijah. But in Jesus, he's God in the flesh. He is the only begotten son. He's in a category all by himself because he is God and the only one worthy of worship. What does this say about the church today? So often we build places of worship for the wrong reason. Oh, I just said a mouthful at that time. See, there are a lot of times people say, I want to build a place so large crowds can come in. Well, that's well and good, but don't build it for that reason. Amen. Build it because you know that God is real and that he is worthy of all the praise. We've got to get that straight. And I think that when God brought that out, when the Lord, the Heavenly Father, God Almighty overshadowed them, he wanted to set that as the primary reason of why we come together. Yeah, it's good to see you on Sunday, but that's not the reason why I came to church. It's good to come in and sing a few songs and pray some prayers, but that's not the reason why we come to church. We come to church because we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We come to church because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We come to church because the Lord did so much for you. He brought you a mighty long way. And for that reason, we come to church. We are here today. We are gathered here today because of the reality of what Christ has done. We've always got to keep that focus on who is most important in our life. Because when you talk about the tabernacle of God, you're not talking about just a building. You're talking about you as the dwelling place. Now be mindful of what's going on here. Transfiguration. The word trans means to cross over. What had happened with Jesus, he had crossed over from just the natural reality of who he was in the body to where he was now glorified. In other words, he stepped out of his mama's image or his mama's likeness. And he got his body from his mama, but he got his identity from his father. Oh, am I talking to somebody? And so he was glorified. He was glorified. And in his glorified state, his robe began to shine with the brightness of 10,000 suns. Jesus was now in this state. Disciples said, Lord, it's good to be here. And after they had been talked to by God, they're on their way back down from the mountain. And Jesus says to them, don't tell anybody until. Don't mention it. Keep it to yourself until. Don't try to go out and tell folks what you saw, who you saw, and who you were with until. Now, he didn't say don't tell, period. He said don't tell until. Everybody say until. There's always got to be an until in our lives. Premature information is not good for anybody. Amen? Some folks you just gotta put them in their place and look, shut up. Because you don't know what you're talking about. It's bad when your mouth gets ahead of your brain. Do I have a witness? And you have to be careful what you say. We learned that in Sunday school. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. How you talk, because the Father up above is looking down in love. So we have to be careful with that. Now notice this. Jesus was telling them, but you know how it is when we see something. We just want to let everybody know. You know, sometimes you can't tell everybody. Huh? You don't want to mention in church that you won the lottery. He didn't say that. Yeah, he did. Jesus commanded them not to tell. He has divine authority to say to us what we are to speak and what we are not to speak. I'm afraid that we've gotten off track with that one. Rather than speaking the oracles of God, we're telling what we think. Some have the audacity to even say, well, I was led. Well, who led you? Jesus commanded them not to tell. And then secondly, they had no authority to tell it until. Everybody say until. See, if you try to go with something and God is not, in other words, giving you that unction, you're speaking on your own. Whatever you tell is not going to have any impact. And whatever you tell is how good it might be, it's not going to really affect anybody. They're going to look at you and say, oh, okay. And then they forget all about it. But when you tell something and you know that you're commanded to tell it, I'm going somewhere with this, and you know that you have the backing of God to tell it, when that message hits home, people are going to feel it. I wonder why folk don't feel what's going on in the church today is because we don't carry that authority. Hallelujah, somebody. And then we rely more on what's up here rather than what's in here. Look at somebody and say, the Holy Ghost got to stir it. Yeah. You got to have the Holy Ghost. We're trying to do church work without a Holy Ghost, like a farmer trying to farm without a plow. You got to have something that's going to work in you. Yes, amen. You got to have something that's going to stir your soul. Are you with me? And so when the Holy Spirit is stirring this work, now you can do what God has called you to do. In our discovery this year, we're talking about discovering God together. In our discovery this year, we've got to understand that we're not where we are because of what we did. We're where we are because of what He did. And as long as we rely on Him, you think you're somewhere now. You ain't seen nothing. Look at somebody and say, I started to say slap them, but y'all might slap them for real. I got to watch y'all. I got to watch y'all. I got to be careful with y'all. Amen, somebody. We have yet to see the greatness of God and the goodness of God until we get to the place where we say, Lord, I believe there's more. How many of you honestly and sincerely believe that there's more that we can do? I'm not talking about Crossroad. I'm talking about this good God who will do great things. Now, before I get to the message, before I get really into the message, I want to tell you that now, this transfiguration, can I just plant the seed in your mind? This transfiguration, let me just tell you, whispering you, this transfiguration was not just for Jesus. It wasn't just for Jesus. Okay? So what Jesus is showing you in this passage, what He's telling you is that this experience of being glorified, don't tell anybody, but you might be in it. Now, I know you don't understand, right? So you're sitting there with this puzzled look on your face. I can see the question mark over your head. What in the world is he talking about? I'm going to show you. Then after I show you, and the Holy Spirit tells you, then you tell. That sound pretty good? All right, let's go with that. Let's go with this. So the Bible said they were on the mount. Jesus was transfigured. They had not only seen God the Son, but they had also seen the presence of God in that he was in the cloud, and they heard his voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So as they come down from the mount, to put this in perspective, Jesus said, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has risen again from the dead. Amen. Let that sink in. Do a Selah on that one. Just kind of let it sink in. Do a meditation on that one. Now, what is Jesus talking about, and why is he saying this, and what does it mean to me? Now, here's the third point. Don't talk about an event if the greater event has not taken place yet. In other words, you don't brag about a house and it's just frame. You just see the frame of how, man, that's a nice house. You ain't got a chair to sit in. You ain't got a bed to sleep in. And you just so happy. I know you're happy because, especially when it's your house and you're looking at it and you're saying, great day, I got a house, but you can't occupy it yet. No farmer gets happy just by planting the seeds in the ground. When he gets happy is when he's sitting at his table eating the squash and eating the string beans and eating the corn. That's when he can say, thank God I had a garden. See, you see what I'm saying? Don't talk about a great event until the greater event has occurred. Y'all still with me? All right, your eyes open, so I'm assuming you're paying attention. All right, now, as Jesus said this, he said, now the event that must take place, not that I die. How many of you know that the death of Jesus Christ was good? He went into agony, taking your sin and my sin upon his body. He died of a broken heart. Rejected by men. Now, his death was good. Don't get me wrong. When he died, ladies and gentlemen, if he had not died, you would still be in your sin. He was the atonement. He was the total sacrifice. You wonder why we, the church, don't have to sacrifice anymore. It's because of his sacrifice. The only thing he said, just remember what I did. Every time you have communion, you're saying, Lord, you did that for me. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Be on the right channel now. The greater event had not taken place. It wasn't just that they put him in a tomb. Borrowed tomb, by the way. When you borrow something, you planning on it, or the old folks say, you fitting to give it back. Borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea let him use the tomb. Now, what can you do with a grave that you just borrowed? Huh? They had hewed this thing out of the side of a cave, and it's like it's in the side of a cave. And so Jesus said, I just need it for a little while, just like when he used the donkey, right? He didn't keep the donkey. That's why the folk didn't get so upset. I'm going to get it back. He didn't keep the grave. Because he was going to give it back. Lord have mercy, Jesus. 3 days. He said, that's all I need. Just enough to park the body and get ready for that third day morning. Are y'all with me? Then when that Sunday morning came, Jesus, as if an alarm clock had sounded, he shook off death, walked out of the grave, and declared that he had all power in his hand. Now, what about the disciples who were here? What if they had told before this event had happened? They would have only had part of the story. Acts chapter 19 talks about some of the disciples who were at Ephesus. And they were trying to preach the gospel, but they only had the baptism of John. So when Paul went there to Ephesus, He asked the people, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, what? We had never heard of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? He said, well, what baptism did you get? He said, well, we were baptized on repentance under John's baptism. Jesus told them about the baptism of our Lord and our Lord's baptism. And when they were baptized under the authority of Jesus Christ, he prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. See, you can't receive it all under repentance. You got to have the Spirit of God to come in and quicken you and make you a new creature. You got to be born from above. You got to have the reality of God in your heart. So the greater event had not taken place. And for that reason, he told them to not tell, which puts us into this thing called waiting. Amen. Now, some of y'all right now, you waiting to get out of church. Kind of glance down at the watch. Right? I'll touch somebody and say, wait a while. Wait for illumination. We just referred to the folks at Ephesus. They had to wait until they had gotten the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. They needed to know the complete gospel, not just what John, the forerunner, said, but what Jesus, the closer, had said. Jesus was going to put all of this together and everything into context so that they would understand the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When they got the complete story, then they became a complete church. If we're not standing as a church on the true foundation of our Lord and Savior, we're going to crumble. But if we're standing on that foundation and our minds have been open to the truth, and I will say, wait for it. Acting prematurely will not help. Well, I just want to do something. Well, please just sit down. Amen. Then wait for the inspiration. There's something about the Spirit of God that gives us that unction. Have you ever really felt in your heart and soul, God wants me to do this? I've got this burning. Anybody ever got that burning on the inside? Now, I'm not talking about heartburn. I'm talking about a real desire to do something for God. Yeah, you will know it when it comes upon you. You'll know it when it comes in your heart. You'll have the scripture to really support you. You can say, well, first it says in the word, but then it says in my heart, this is real. Wait for the inspiration. Jesus told the disciples, before you go anywhere trying to minister, wait for the promise of the Father. God's going to give you. See, as long as they were with Jesus, they had no problem doing ministry. But now Jesus was gone. How in the world are they going to do ministry without his presence? He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the same as I've been with you, he's going to be with you. And ladies and gentlemen, that same Spirit of God that led the disciples, that same Spirit is now with us. We are the recipients. Are y'all still with me? Now, your shout's coming later. Your teaching's coming now, all right? I got to train you and teach you what the Lord told me so then I can tell you. Be inspired. Don't just be illuminated. Be inspired. Back in the late 15th and early 16th century, they had this thing called the Enlightenment. And they were basing the knowledge not on the knowledge of God, but on the knowledge of man. Discover who you are. And you know what? People are still living in the darkness of that light. Because that light, same way that Adam and Eve shut down the Spirit of God, that's the same way that enlightenment in yourself, you know, when you tell yourself, I can do this. I'm big, I'm bad, I'm bold. Next thing you know, life hits you from a dozen ways and you land flat. Oh, God, please help me. Now, is that to say you don't have a mind? Sure you have a mind. That's why God gave it to you. But he never gave you a mind to go off on your own. He gave you a mind to obey him and to listen to his voice. He gave you a mind so that you could now see this really is good. And even when he does things above your level of understanding, you know how to trust him. Amen. 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 Wait for the inspiration, but then also wait for the preparation. Romans 12 and talks about the gifts that we've been given. First of all, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 9 says, he that ministereth, let him wait on his ministry. You know, nowadays we got folks that get the hiccup, think they've been called. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, no, you just got indigent. You just got the hiccups. You ain't been. And look at somebody and say, you better know. We must wait on that ministry in order to be successful, in order for God to move in our lives, in order for the Lord to have his way. Amen. So be inspired. Be enlightened or have that illumination of God, but then be prepared. Be prepared. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a child of God, you've got to always study. Always study. Early in the morning, the first book I open is this book. Now, I read other books. I try to be an enlightened pastor because you don't want somebody to be ignorant. Right? Y'all be saying, Lord have mercy. He country, but I didn't know he was ignorant too. Country, I can't get over. Ignorance, I can. I can learn. And you can learn. And we can learn together. And when we learn together, that's what makes it exciting. That's what really makes it a church. So God has put us in this learning mode. And he wants us to reach that place where we not only can tell what happened on the mountain, we can begin to impact the lives of people. Now, if you finish reading on Matthew chapter 17, you'll find out the disciples came down from the mountain and they ran into problems. Right? They came down from the mountain and there was a demon-possessed boy that none of them could do anything about. Why? Because if they tell it immaturely or if you do something and God hasn't prepared you for it, you're not going to be ready to handle it. That's the reason why some of you can't handle life. Amen? You can't handle it. Can I talk to you young folk? Some of y'all think y'all grown. You can't handle life. And what life is telling you, come on, Brent, come on. Come on. I'd be glad when I'm 21. I'm going to get out of here. Come on. Life is saying, come on. Come on. Come on. Lord knows there was a time when I was 25 and I wish I could run back on. Am I right, Fred? Amen. 35, 45, 50. You kidding me? Wish I could go back home. So when God has prepared you, when God has put you into this position where now you are equipped by God to handle whatever comes your way, then you can look at life and say, come on. That's right. Because God has given you that ability, that divine strength, and that energy. And sometimes with tears streaming down your face, you still go ahead because you know you got God with you. The ministry of waiting. It's good to wait sometimes. Isaiah said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. There's strength in waiting. You're being energized. Do you not know that when you go to sleep, your body re-energizes? It goes through this process of renewal because all day long you're putting out energy and God said, let me put you to sleep so I can get you re-energized. Let me just let you rest now. Oh, but when you get up, you're rested. And that rest is not just in the place where we sleep, but it's in the Lord in whom we put our trust. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many of you have ever been weak? Life just zapped you like a hot summer day. And you say to yourself, I don't think I can go on. But when you find that place of rest in God, Oh, I know you ain't supposed to shout right now, but look at somebody and say, ain't he good? I'll tell you, ain't he, look at somebody else, say, ain't he good? A couple of truths, then I'm going to let you go. We'll be out of here. A couple of truths. Number one, don't try to tell what you don't understand. Don't be like the three, don't be like the three stooges. They all said, ooh, 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 ooh. And that's all you know. Try to understand your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Try to understand who he is to you and what he means to you. What he's done for you. Take people to the word, which cannot change. Tell them, I know because it is written.
Amen.
Give them the greatness of not who you are, but his greatness. Second thing is, a timely message is more important than a great message. I should say timeless message. I wrote a couple of things down. I think you'll find it interesting. We try to tell people things that applies to the here and now, and it's all right. It's all right, you know. This group of people in the book of Luke came to Jesus and said, guess what happened? They said, Pilate has taken some of the people and has mingled their blood, which meant that he'd killed them, put them to death, and he'd mingled their blood with their sacrifice. In other words, he killed them while they were worshiping. And Jesus said, if you think that's bad, let me give you the timeless message. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So you got to make sure that the message is timely. Don't tell me after the truck hits me, you better get out of the way. My mama said, bless your heart, you meant well, but you just a little bit late. And you know, again, I'm going to pick on my young people. Sometimes when the old folks in your life, where you call them old folks, and they try to tell you stuff, and you don't want to hear it, it's all because they've been hit by the truck that's coming your way. I'm just saying. Now sometimes parents don't want to tell you that they've been in the mud, and they're trying to warn you not to get stuck. And here you go with your far self going on down that same road. And he's trying to tell you, I've been down there, child. Amen. Amen. I try to tell my kids sometimes, you know, that trick don't work. How you know, Dad? Well, I'm a preacher now, but I ain't been always a preacher. Just trying to help you. We have to understand that the message needs to be timeless. For us to talk about maybe a miracle that Christ is doing right now is good. It may be timely, but it's not timeless. For us to build our church on some extraordinary thing or some extraordinary event that happens within the time frame of when it happened is good. Should recognize that. But guess what? The moment it passes is history. There is something that is not history, but his story. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That ain't gonna change. That ain't gonna change. That will never change. Because Jesus Christ is there to represent the very timeless message. How many know that he was real when you got up this morning? Yeah, yeah. And you know he was good yesterday, today, and forever. God is real. That ain't gonna change. Let me tell you something. Years from now, nobody may ever know who we were. But as long as they know who Jesus is, it's all right. It's all right. The message has to be timeless. That's what we want to build this church on. I got to close now. I'm feeling happy now. I'm getting happy, and I get excited when I get happy. But then every good message has some backup. Don't ever tell me something you can't back it up. Don't tell me you're a millionaire. Show me the money. And Jesus was saying to his disciples, I haven't backed it up yet. But after I've risen, you're going to know I'm real. Which brings us to this question. How do you know when to tell? I'm glad you asked that question. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, he didn't just get up himself. But the Bible said that in Jerusalem alone, graves were shook, and many of the bodies that slept were out of the grave, came out of the grave and appeared in the city. That's just in Jerusalem alone. But guess what happened to you when you heard the gospel? Because the gospel had some backup. Because the gospel had some power. When you heard it, something struck within your heart. You got tired of living the life you were living. And you said, Lord, if you are God, if you are the Savior, come into my life. And guess what he did? He came in, picked you up, turned you around, put you on a solid foundation. Nobody has to ask you, is God real? You know he's real because he's real down in your soul. That's what the church is built on. That's what the church is built on. Not some passing season, not some new fad, but on the glory of the gospel that's happened in our lives. That's what we're built on. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but hold and lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, nothing but sinking sand. Are you leaning on it? Are you leaning on it? I'm going to go to my seat, but before I go to my seat, you can't tell what you don't know. Huh? Tell what you know. If you know it, then tell it. If you know he's in your life, then tell it. Remember we talked about now the transfiguration. How did the disciples know it was time? Well, when they were up in the upper room, something happened to them. Before the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were just over in a corner. They were scared. They were frightened. They were all shook up. But when the Holy Ghost came, that same fearful group came down out of the upper room as if they had authority. Because guess what? The Jesus that had risen had come down on the inside of them. The Jesus that got out of the grave was now living on the inside. You ask me what I know? I know he's real because he's real down. Down, down, on the inside. Lift your hands if you know he's real. Yeah. Can't make me doubt him. Can't make me doubt him. I know for myself. Then tell who you know, not just what you know. People say, well, that don't mean anything. I haven't felt anything yet. Our job as a Christian is not to be God. Lord have mercy. You're not God. You can't change anybody. Your job as a Christian is to bring folk together and say, let me introduce you to my friend. Let me tell you who he is. Every Sunday morning, all I'm doing is making introduction. All I'm doing is to tell you about a man who walked on the water, a man who calmed the sea, a man who fed 5,000. And if anybody else was hungry, he'll feed you too. A man that knows all, does all, can do all, because he is God. Tell him who you know. Tell him who you know. I tell you what, if I knew Bill Gates, I would let you know. But then I'd pull out a little money to let you know why he's my friend. But I don't know Bill Gates. I'm just an old country boy from Scottsburg, Virginia. Never been to Paris. Never been to Rome. Never walked the streets of Jerusalem. Never been to those lofty places that men can boast about. But let me tell you where I have been and who I got to know. I came one day to the foot of the cross, burning down, weighing heavy on me. I called on the Lord. He heard my cry. He pitied every groan, took me into his family. Now I'm a child of God. Or do I have a witness here? Tell folk who you know. But then tell them how you know. People say, I believe because the Bible tells me so. Yes, the Bible tells me, but also because of the Holy Spirit, I got the Bible in me. The Word of God has come a part of my life. I live by it. I go by it. Now, I can't do everything that it says. I'm still pressing on. Anybody still pressing on? But I can tell you how I know. How do I know? Because the Lord's brought me out of trial, after storm, after storm. He's been with me when I've been down. He's been with me when I've been up. I've never had a day to go by where I couldn't depend on Jesus. As a matter of fact, I met him in South Korea. And I let him know just the other day. I said, Lord, since I met you in South Korea, you've never taken your eyes off me. Now, my mama loved me, but she was just a human. Sometimes she would take her eyes off me because she's just human. But your God, so when you read the passage in the Bible, say he's filled with many eyes, that means so he can see every one of his. Touch somebody and say, God is watching. When you go through a storm and you think he's not watching, Lord, do you know? Ah, his eye. His own. The sparrow. He's watching. He knows when you get sick. As a matter of fact, he sends the doctor. He knows when you get weak because he sends the comforter. He knows your ups and downs. He knows when you're at a place where you need guidance because he sends the one to guide you. Tell how you know. Since you've been born again, and even before that time, God has had his eye on you. You don't need to be fearful of anything. Trust him. Listen to his voice. Let him lead you. And now that you know what you know and how you know it. We're coming down from the mountain. And as Jesus told the disciples, don't tell, I want to turn that around now. Because you've been transfigured. You've been changed. You're not the person that you used to be. God has changed you. So as you come down from this mountain of worship today, having spent time with the Lord and understanding who He is, knowing that He has died and risen again, and knowing that He lives within you, go tell. Go tell. Go. Oh, you got it. You know. And now, how many of y'all plan to tell? If you plan to tell, stand on your feet. Say, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell. Look at somebody. Say, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell everybody this good news. Father, we thank you so much for your presence and your power today. Thank you for just being God. Lord, we worship you and we honor your name today. And our lives have been transfigured, transformed. And we're so grateful. We couldn't change ourselves. But now that we are changed, we want to let the world know the difference that you've made in our lives. Thank you so much. Send us forth now with the good news of the great Savior, Jesus Christ. And for that person who's not saved, I pray that they would give their life to you today. Turn their life over to you so that they can be saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. For that Christian who's not been dedicated to you, I pray for them right now that they would recommit their life to you. They know what you've done for them. They know how you brought them out through all those struggles. May they recommit their life to you today. More importantly, may all of us as believers get excited and share this glorious news of our wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Clap your hands, all you people. I want to give the invitation to everyone today.